So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now.
Father, we are before you once again. Our hearts are prepared before you. Let your words come to edify. Let your words come to mend. Let your words come to heal. Let your words come to inspire. Let your words come to build. Let your word come to transform. Let your word come to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we are going to touch on another important aspect. You see, the prayer, fasting, they all have to do with building intimacy with God. Fellowship, deepening fellowship and intimacy with God. At least we see it as one of the main things Jesus did in establishing close friendship and intimacy with the Father. So today, the one we are going to add, to top up with, is what we call Christian solitude. It may sound big, but it's not really a big word. If you have heard of soul before, soul, which means single, I don't mean the human soul, I mean soul, S-O-L-E. Or you've heard of solitary, you've heard of solo, solo. So when we say solo, you are not expecting a whole choir, right? You're expecting just one person to come and stand here. So it has to do with single. So when we say solitude, it also has to do with alone or single, oneness. So when we talk about Christian solitude, we are saying that it's a time for the Christian, a moment in a Christian's life where you discipline yourself and you intend or you intentionally withdraw, okay, or move away from the normal things you are used to in your life. You see, for the purpose of giving full and undivided attention to God. That is solitude for the Christian. You are setting yourself aside from your normal everyday things, people, you see, environment, and you are now giving your full undivided attention to God. You know, there are two friends I remember. One of them, back in the university, during the semester, when the semester begins, you never see him studying, whether on his own or with people. He will always be going round, hopping from one room to the other, always gallivanting and all that. When it's getting to exams time, in fact, maybe a week before exams, that's where you see group meetings, at its peak. And that is when you see this guy moving from one group meeting to the other. And the testimony he's carrying with him is that he's not able to study on his own. What helps him to study? He better understands when he sits among people and they are discussing and the ideas are flying and he catches some of the ideas in the air. I remember one time we were preparing for a certain paper and he came to sit by me and asked me to, explain something to you, either he'll get F because he has not learned anything. And after I explained the thing to him, he says, I have saved his life, because he can perceive that he is jumping from F to B. The camera is not on me. It's on him. His inability to sit down on his own and study. He says he cannot. So he always has to be moving from one group to the other. There is also another lady who says that for she, taking her Bible on her own to read, na lie. She cannot do that. She only likes it when she's seated among people discussing the Bible study. Then when they are saying it, then the ideas are entering her. So that is how she can read the Bible or have something to do with the Bible. Should a Christian have this attitude towards God? That it's only on Sundays, or it's only during prayer meetings, only Bible study. You see, we can see you to be very vibrant and active in church. Every program you are there and all that, men will praise you, but we don't know what is happening in your closet. We don't know whether you have a closet life at all. We appreciate it when we meet and you come. Yes, we'll say you are doing well. But is that the kind of pathway or the kind of like norm God wants for a Christian? Hallelujah. If you look through the Bible, you see that those who were serious with God and God was serious with, he liked to instruct, to converse, to meet them at points, certain points, when he would have them alone or have their attention for himself. Look at people like Abraham. Look at people like Moses. Look at people like Jesus. Even the early church. Look at people like Peter. At a point in time, he is waiting for food to be prepared for him. Many of us, when we are even hungry and we are waiting for something to be prepared, you go and sit behind the television to while away the time. This man went to a place he would be alone and he prayed. Just a few days ago, a day or two, the whole nation was in shambles because of network, internet. In fact, the day that thing happened, a certain friend of mine came to mind. He's here with us, but I won't mention his name. Very active on social media. Those close to him know him. He came to me, I said, hey, what would GSK do? Oh, have I mentioned his name? You see, we are in a kind of era, a kind of moment where when you wake up, the first thing, even when you are now in the process of waking up that you've not opened your eyes, your hand is groping for your phone. That is the kind of age we are in. That is it. We can't do without certain things. And we give all sorts of excuses. Oh, God understands. Has God's methods changed? Has his ways changed? When he wants to spend time with you, quality time with you. You see, when we look through the scripture, the one who I admire the most when it comes to this solitude is Jesus. It's Jesus. And it's not only with how he does it, but because of who he is and what he also stands for. The fact that he is the Son of God, the fact that he is the one who has come to show us the way. He says he is the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, if I don't see anyone do it, but I see him do it, it should say something to me. No matter who I am, no matter my personality, no matter my experiences. There are some people who say that it is introverts who excel at solitude. Is that true? That when you are an introvert, then it's easy for you. Oh, you see, some of us, we are sanguines. We talk too much. You see, choleric. We are like every time, if we don't talk, we are not satisfied. And in JHS, there was this mate of mine who was noted for being so loud, a talkative. Every names of talkative, his name is in and will be among the top five. The teachers will whip him every day. But still, this guy will maintain his culture in the class. One day he fought with a girl in the class and the lady beat him mercilessly. And that day he was beaten. We were all sitting there, the class was quiet, and someone just shouted, "Ah, didn't this guy come to school today?" Then we all turned. We saw him sitting at the back there, so quiet. He has been mellowed by a lady. And we said, "Hey, so you can be quiet." You see, that's why I'm saying it's intentional. Something you intend to do. It is not about your personality. That this person is too quiet. So as for him, he's always in a solitary moment and all that. It's not about that. Jesus, starting his ministry at the early stage, Mark 1:35, Luke chapter 4, verse 42, they both record that he would depart to a solitary place where he would be alone. He was not scared of witches. He was not scared of armed robbers. He was not scared of whatever. Not scared of mosquitoes. He would depart to a solitary place. Let's read it. Mark 1:35. Yes.
Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And he there
departed he to a solitary place. Let's look at Luke. What Luke is also saying. Luke 4:42.
Luke chapter 4, verse 42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them.
A deserted place. You see, if God knows your heart, he knows why you are doing what you are doing. He can create the conducive environment for you. The most unlikely places you think and the most unlikely conditions you think would be to your detriment. God knows what you are using it for, so he would come through for you. Deserted place. Deserted place. Anything can happen at a deserted place. You can meet your end at a deserted place. In Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, he could spend 40 days alone. Wow. 40 days alone. What kind of person is this? 40 days. When we were even in 2 weeks lockdown, look at some people, how they were itching. 2 weeks lockdown. 40 days. He was alone in the wilderness. Wow. All because of quality time he wants to spend with God. Quality time he wants to spend with God. Give God his full and undivided attention. You see, the cause for what he's doing is the reason why he's doing, that is what is making it so unique, that he doesn't consider some factors. Because of the cause for what he's doing, he's doing it because he wants to spend time with God. One guy said that he had been moving from his house to visit his girlfriend for a long time, long distance. And one day he broke up with his girlfriend. That day he broke up with her in her house after the visit. And when he was returning, he said his attention was drawn to something. He saw that he passed through a place which was a cemetery. And he says, "Hey, so all this while I've been walking through a cemetery to my beloved's place and I have never realized." He has been going through a cemetery. The day she will leave you, that's the day you realize the traffic you go through before you get to her house. What is your motivation? It's because of the cause for what you are doing. You have your eyes on something. So, no matter the circumstances around, it doesn't bother you. Luke chapter 21 verse 37 says that he could be alone in the mountains at night. Let's read it.
Luke 21:37.
Yes.
And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple.
Yes.
But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet.
So you see the previous passages we read, he said one passage said when it was morning. Another says when it was day. Now this one says that at night. So he could have solitude at any time with with his father at any time. Intentional. So at night time, he alone went and stayed on the mountain. He alone went and stayed on the mountain. Early this year, I went for a personal retreat at the Atria Mountain. And as I was ascending the mountain, I had a call from someone. And the person was, as we were talking, okay, I'm on my way to the mountain. The person said, eh. But is it only the mountain you can go there that God will hear you? I nearly said, get deep behind me, Satan. I nearly said it. No, what, why? I have not told you that don't come. I am going. What is your problem? You see, I have not told you that staying in your room is bad. Now you are questioning me going to the mountain. I nearly said that, but I just relaxed. Hallelujah. He went in the night. He alone went and stayed on the mountain. Times that crowds will come, they are coming to hear Jesus. At the peak time of his ministry, Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 says, he often withdrew. Luke 5, verse 15 and 16.
Luke 5, 15 and 16.
Yes.
However, the report went around concerning him. The more.
Mm-hmm.
And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities.
Verse 16.
So he himself often withdrew
into the wilderness
and prayed.
Matthew 14, after dividing the loaves of bread, it could have been time for farms. You see, in fact, John chapter 6 records it that after he did that, the people wanted to come and snatch him and make him king, but he absconded. Matthew 14 says that when he finished, he said, okay, you people, it's okay. Yes, yes. Oh, bye-bye. When you go greet your mother for me. Okay, bye. Verse 23, he went to a place he was alone. Let's read it. Matthew 14:23.
And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there.
He was there till evening, and he was there alone. Wow. He was there alone. You see, in Luke chapter 22, he was with his disciples. Verse 41 says, when he went with them into the garden, he left their side and went about a stone throw. He knelt down, wanted to be alone and pray. Let's read it. Luke 22, from verse 41 to 43.
And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed.
Yes.
Saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
Verse 43.
Then an angel appeared to him from heaven.
Strengthening him. We find strength in our place of solitude. We go there to be refreshed. You see, we go there to lighten our load and burdens from this whole world which is always busy throwing things at us here and there. We go there to refill. We go there to be strengthened. We go there to be clothed with power. So in Luke chapter 4, after he had spent 40 days alone, verse 14 says, he returned in the power of the Spirit. He came back strengthened. He came back fortified to meet what was ahead of him. Yes. And even in that time, he was having his solitude. Satan also came to face him. And he could face the devil squarely in his time of solitude. There are some people who think and say that solitude is something which can render you depressed. It can let you enter a moment of depression. And it can let the devil get you at your point of weakness. You'll be engaged in things like watching pornography. That temptation is high at the time of solitude, masturbation and all. Jesus met Satan at the point of solitude and he conquered him. Yeah. He conquered him. He conquered him. You see, Satan is afraid you will enter that moment. That is why he's discouraging you from entering. It's different if we are saying you are just being lonely. No, that's not what we are saying. We are saying you are withdrawing so that you have time for God. You have full and undivided attention for God. Time of prayer, time of being with him in the word, time of meditating. That is it. Which room would you leave for Satan to come and test you with pornography? Get you with pornography. The test will come, but you prevail. The temptation will come, but you will prevail. Don't be scared. You won't be depressed. Jesus did it alone. And when Satan came, no one was with him physically. But he could conquer Satan. He could conquer Satan. So if Jesus says in John 8:29 that he who sent me has not left me, my father who sent me has not left me because I always do the things that please him. You understand? You see, because this is someone he has been spending time with alone. So he's confident of the person's presence. In John 16:32, he says that a time will come, even you people around me, you'll be scattered. But even that time, I won't fear. Some of us, when people are leaving us, it's the most painful part of our lives. You see, nobody was created an island. That is true. We all need people around us. Christian solitude is not to entertain antisocialism. No. But it's also to let you know that beyond everything, beyond all the people, beyond all the things that may be, you may be engaged with in your life, there is God. And he's more than 1,000 people in your life. He's more than them. So he says you will be scattered. You will leave me, but when it gets to that time, I won't be afraid because I am not alone. The Father is with me. You see, he's not just saying this out of faith. Some of us, when we are boasting that God will never leave us nor forsake us, we are saying it because it's a promise. And we are declaring it by faith. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. But in your heart, there is a wide gap of, he's saying it because that is it. The Father is with him. The Father's presence is so tangible to him, though he's not seeing him face to face. The Father's presence is so tangible because that is his best friend. That is the person he goes to, his confidant. That is the person he can spend time alone with. Forgo every kind of distraction and not really care about the consequence. This is the person. That is the person he's talking about. He says he has never left me. He's with me. Hallelujah. So he withdrew. Devil came, he faced him. He withdrew to, separate himself from the pressures of this world that is burdening some of us so much. You see, some of us, right from your home, when you wake up, something greets you. When you sit in the car, another thing greets you. When you get to your workplace, your life is noisy from morning to evening. Even in your sleep too, people are chasing you. Every aspect, like, for you, we don't know when is quiet in your life. You see, my brother is here. He can bear me witness. Where we live, there is a spot just outside the house. The landlord has opened a spot there. When you are entering the house, even right now, from leaving this place to the house, when we get there, that's the first thing that greets us. And if it's a drinking spot, you know it's not gospel they'll play. Sometimes in the morning, they'll start with some one or two gospel tunes. Edin Jesus. Edin Jesus. But by the time we return, they are high. They've gone to another level. And the gospel, they'll play it low. Only those in the rooms can hear. But the other ones from a distance, you know that, yeah, you are close to the house. You wake up in the morning, and that's what greets you. So as for my brother GSK, you see, maybe he's shy, I would say it. But when he's there alone, he will also put in this Theophilus Sunday prayers and songs. And by the time I'm almost entering the house at the gate, I will even hear Theophilus Sunday song over the song they are playing at the spot. You see, that is the truth with some of us, our lives. In the car, you are hearing onwana mewano, onwana mewano, onwana. You get to the workplace, you hear some, oh, fioko, oh, then saying profane things. It enters, it comes, it enters, it comes. You see, when you close to, you are tired, you are coming to, ah, another thing, trot from mate and people, someone is fighting, then someone will say something, another will say something. Our lives are so noisy. So noisy. Which time can you have, you see, undistracted just with God to hear him, to listen to him? Hallelujah. One thing this solitude also does for us is when you have this quality time alone with God, he speaks to you. It's so real. He speaks to you. He reveals things to you. I like the Acts chapter 10 when Peter went to the housetop. Maybe if he was watching TV, I don't know if that vision would have come. He went to the housetop and the vision came. It was a world revival vision. It was a vision that was going to lead to a revival, because God was going to do something big, bringing the Gentiles to him. Peter was in the right condition, right atmosphere, right situation to download that revelation. Even from the Old Testament, look at Genesis 18. Those three men who visited Abraham, they were with Abraham in his house. The servants of Abraham were there. Sarah herself was there. They never said certain things till when they stood up and they were walking with Abraham. And God said, shall I hide anything from Abraham? Wow. He waited till he was alone with Abraham. He says, shall I hide anything from Abraham? Time was alone with him. There are times I enjoy so much when I'm having solitude, because, you see, there are moments when it's like God is teaching you. Some of the revelations as a Bible teacher I'm able to get, a lot of them are from the times of solitude. You see, it's like you're having an inner conversation and you're asking God, why this, why that? You may even be talking about something, a topic which may not be related to the current situation. And you are like, Holy Spirit, why do you want to talk about this now? But you see that some days later you understand. There was one time at the Kwafu Hall when I was at the university. I came to stand at my balcony. I was there alone and I was looking at the trees. And I started singing. And as I was looking at the trees, looking around, looking at creation, and it just dropped in me that, look, all these things are being kept by something, the word of God. And I was like, I had seen it in the word, Hebrews 11, that by faith we believe that the worlds were formed through the word. So I was like, the tree. So that's why when you cut off the tree, it has to sprout again. There is a word that has been said and the thing must continue. It's like, wow. The solitary moment. I don't know for you what God will tell you in your time of solitude, but he wants to tell you something. For that I know. Hallelujah. Then finally, I know my time is almost up. When you have this time of solitude alone with God, it helps you also to be acquainted with God's voice. You exercise your senses, you see, to be able to be acquainted with his voice. A lot of questions prophets are receiving, and not just prophets, a lot of us, is how can I hear God? How can I hear God? How can I hear God? If you are not someone who is willing to withdraw, have moments alone with God, stop asking those questions. You don't intend to know the answer. You see, it's part of it, because as you spend time with him, he speaks to you, you hear from the way the ideas come, the way the thoughts come. He establishes a kind of channel that you alone is unique to you and him. So, when he's speaking, you know that this is God. All other people may not hear it, but you know that this is God. So Jesus can be with the people. In John chapter 12, 27, 28, he says, "Oh Father, this is the moment. My soul is distressed. Glorify your name." Then a voice came. "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." The people around said it was thunder. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Jesus is hearing a voice. They said it's thunder. Amen. The last thing I want to end with is the example of the eagle. Isaiah 40 verse 31. He says, "Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagle." Of the eagle. Why does he use the eagle? There is something about the eagle's life. You see, it's one of the birds which, whose lifespan is very, very long. Over 70 years, this animal can still be alive. There are several interesting facts about the eagle. But the one I like so much is a period in its life where the eagle separates itself. It goes to a very high ground, mountain, and it stays there alone for at least 5 months. That's about 150 days. And by that time, it is getting old. Its beak has grown and it's even bending. So it's making it difficult for it to grab its prey. Its talons, the claws, they also become long so much that they bend in. So it's also not able to have a firm grip on its prey. Then its feathers become plenty such that it becomes heavy. Its wings even becomes heavy. So when it flies a short distance, it even becomes tired. After noticing all this, it flies to the top of that high mountain. It's there alone. It knocks its beak against a rock and breaks it. And it waits till the beak grows again. Then it uses the beak to pluck out its claws. After that, it plucks out its feathers and waits. It's there alone. It waits. 1 month, it's waiting. 2 months, it's waiting. 3 months, you come and see this bird new, with fresh feathers, with a new beak, new claws, and it just launches out again, ready for the challenges out there. Solitude. Amen.
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.